Lipcast Slovakia, the podcast about Slovak literature in English. Hello, welcome to Lipcast Slovakia 25. My name is Julia Sherwood, and my guest today is the scholar of Czech language and literature and translator David Short. David Short taught Czech and Slovak at the School of Slavonic and East European Studies, University of London, now part of University College London, from 1973 to 2011, and has written widely on Czech language and literature. He is the author of Teach Yourself Czech and Customs and Etiquette in the Czech Republic, among other publications. Since his retirement, he has focused on translation and has translated works by a wide range of Czech writers and, more recently, also several Slovak authors. Hello, David. How are you on this cold Easter weekend?
I'm very well, thank you.
Thank you and welcome to Litcast. I calculated that it's 40 years since we first met, and when I first came to London, and your reputation preceded you as Angličan's Vysočan, because your Czech was reputed to be so flawless. So can you tell us where your interest in this language originated, and what was the magic formula you used to become so proficient?
The answer to the first is that I took a degree in Russian. In the final year we had courses in comparative Slavonic philology and Serbian. I rather enjoyed that and determined that in the future I would be a comparative Slavonic philologist, but at that end I needed at least one additional language. I chose Czech. I got a British Council scholarship to Prague for a year, which grew into 5 years, although not all on the scholarship. The Russian had gone out of the window by then, so had the Serbian, so I was left with only Czech. 5 years in Prague was quite enough for me to learn it properly, so to speak. I have, in answer to your second question, the good fortune, somehow, to be able to learn languages fairly well. I used to be fluent in French, then I was fluent in Russian. I was pretty good in Serbian, even after only a year. But with disuse, they all disappear, and now I'm left with Czech and additionally Slovak.
So you taught Czech and Slovak at CIS for many years, and while you were still teaching, you started translating just for fun, without actually any prospect of publishing what you translated. Until luck had it that one of your former students, Mike Tate, felt that it would be a terrible waste for all these translations to just collect dust in your drawer. And he founded the publishing house, Jantar Publishing, basically, specially so that your translations could see the light of day. So can you tell us what the first books were that you translated, and what was it about them that you found irresistible?
Well, the first one, it wasn't really for fun, and there was no idea of publication behind it. I did it as a parallel translation, a short novel by a not very good Czech journalist. I produced it as parallel text, I say, and that's what it was, a teaching aid. And Mike was one of the ones who most enjoyed playing with it. And it was really his thank you to me for the years I'd given him, that he wanted to publish this. At the same time, he discovered that there was another unpublished translation lying around, and he thought he'd do that as well. However, that second one wasn't done just for fun or pleasure either. That was commissioned by a publisher somewhere in Hammersmith. When the commissioning editor handed it to him, he found it was too long for the format of the edition he wanted it in. She was instructed to shorten it, and to cut a very long story short, the author withdrew her permission to publish. Then the poor commissioning editor paid for the translation out of her own pocket and said, if you can find anyone to publish it, by all means go ahead. Don't bother asking. And so Mike asked me if there was anything else, basically, not me asking him. And so he made that number two on his list.
And what was the title of that book?
Prague, I See a City by Hodrová.
Yes, this is the book that Mike has been now promoting as part of his celebrations of 10 years of Jantar publishing.
Sorry, he's done, I think, a third edition of Prague, I See a City for this purpose. And incidentally, he's also done several more books by the same author, but translated by other people. Not because I couldn't have done it, but because I was doing other things at the time.
Yes, so this was Veronique Firkušný and Elena Sokol who translated it was called the Kingdom of Souls, and I understand that the two other parts of the trilogy are coming out this summer from Jantar with the Kingdom of Soul renamed, and they will come out together as a trilogy, so that's something to look forward to. So you have actually slightly dispelled this myth about having all those translations in the drawer. But since then, anyway, you've been on a roll and you have translated modern classics from Karel Čapek, Jaroslav Durych to Jaroslav Hašek, Bohumil Hrabal and Vítězslav Nezval to contemporary authors such as Hodrová, who you've already mentioned, Michal Vývek, Jáchym Topol, Antonín Bajeja and Jan Němec, to name just a few. So, do you have an overview of how many books you've translated altogether?
Well, it does rather depend on what you include. I tend to quote those that have been published, which is about 23. There are six forthcoming, and 16 at least with no publication assured or planned, although I think three of them are looking for a home. That's to say, a home is being looked for them by their commissioning editors, because a lot of things get commissioned and they never see the light of day. I do very, very few books just for pleasure. I can only think off the top of my head of two where I literally sat down because I like this, I said to myself, and did them. One of which was then I sent to the author, who was more than a little surprised, and then he hawked it around various conferences and publishing houses until it was picked up by a lady at Oxford University Press. It was a thing by Wojciech Nowotny called Papuanské polopravdy. Oxford didn't like the literal title, they gave it their own. Notebooks from New Guinea, that's what it was, Notebooks from New Guinea. The author is an entomologist. He spends 6 months of the year in České Budějovice and 6 months of the year in his mobile office cum lab in New Guinea. And I'll tell you one interesting thing about him. He has learnt a lot of the local pidgin, and in České Budějovice he teaches some of his students this peculiar language, and so České Budějovice must be the only place in the entire Czech Republic where people chat away in pidgin in the local pubs.
That is wonderful. So one of the authors you translated is Bohumil Hrabal, and I imagine that translating him must have been as much fun as it was a challenge.
Mm.
And there's this big discussion about how to translate his word pábytel and pábení. These are words that he either coined or was the first to introduce into literature. And in your translation of pirouettes on a postage stamp, you translated it as palavering, but other translators rendered them differently. So can you talk a little bit about this term and the various translations?
Well, in that book, which is a proper edited edition as well as being a translation, I didn't call it palavering. I kept barbegni and barbitel in italics throughout the text. But the first footnote, the footnote to the first occurrence, does say this is a word which I'm not going to try to translate, but others have used palavering. Now, I just put that footnote in to make the establish the connection between that book and others chosen this word palavering, which I really don't like. I really don't like it at all.
I see.
But it's not mine.
Okay, so we cleared that. So you're not a fan of palavering.
No.
And what do you remember what other ways this word has been translated as?
I don't recall. I've no idea what others said, and I can't even recall what I've called it in my later translations. The one called in Czech. Oh, I can't remember what the original title is, but it's the one which has the Barbitelský učeň in the title, and there I've taken it out of the title as a noun and put it back, as it were, as a verb, where I use the English verb to ramble on.
Oh, that's good, yes. So rambling on, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But thinking overnight about this thing, because I knew this question was coming, I do wonder if I wouldn't go, in fact, in future for witterer and wittering. I quite like that.
And so right now, you're working on Pole Orná a Válečná by another classic writer of the 20th century, Vladislav Vančura. I can't even begin to imagine what it might be like translating Vančura's language.
Yeah, don't try.
What was the greatest challenge you encountered while working on this book?
Well, the challenges come at a rate of about 90 a page. It was a very slow job. It's an extremely difficult language. It's unpredictable language. I couldn't pick out any one. Well, I could pick out one problem, which is lying in my head day and night at the moment. But basically, it's the ambiguities, the archaisms, the odd word that's in no dictionary, and, you know, any headache that a translator can run up against, then Vančura has them all. The one that's really bugging me at the moment is a sentence which consists of three words, chůze, jití, putování, and I've got to get that into some kind of English, ideally tersely, ideally not repeating anything, and I'm just floundering for the moment. Chůze, jití, putování.
That's, yeah. Well, I'll be interested to see the result of your musings on this. So when did you add Slovak to the mix and started translating from the Slovak as well, with the first writer being Robert Gál, who, interestingly, I think is by now the most translated Slovak author into English, although paradoxically he's actually not that well known in Slovakia because he actually lives in Prague. Mm. So can you tell us how that came about?
I wish I could. He wasn't my first Slovak. Well, actually, I suppose he was, because it takes time to do these things, especially his. The first one of his came out in 2018. How he found me, I have no idea. I just can't remember. People find me, you know, and then chiefly because they've been looking for me, because they're looking for a translator and somebody's mentioned my name. That's all I can say, really. But where he turned up out of the blue, I can't recollect. But before him, chronologically in terms of publication, he was preceded by that other slightly mysterious Slovak who, like Bala, goes under one name only, namely Richard. And it's the same story. He worked in London, in the city, and he had this book he wanted to get off his chest. And he strolled round to Sis one day because he knew Slovak was taught and assumed someone taught it. He may or may not have known me by name, I don't know. And he asked me if I wouldn't mind taking it on. I said I'd love to because I like a challenge. And there was no prospect of publication, but there was prospect of being paid. He was going to pay for it out of his own pocket. Yeah, and then Mike Tate being around, he undertook the publishing side of it. So the man was very happy on all counts.
So that's how Gaudeamus came to be translated and published in English. Another book, Slovak book that you translated and that's going to be published by Jantar, by Bala, also has a bit of a trouble with its title. So how did you translate Je mrtvý?
That's in abeyance. That's in abeyance because there'll be a question of combining the appearance of a title or simply a complete utterance. I mean, you understand the problem.
Yes, I do. Yeah. That's why I'm asking about it.
Well, it appears to say Bala, the author and the title, he's dead. Without the personal pronoun in Slovak, the title page is going to look like Bala is dead, which may stand or may not, and this is by no means finally resolved. There's no hurry either. And probably a slight alteration of the typeface used on the title pages, the cover and the title pages, may solve the problem. And Bala's a bloody nuisance, frankly. He does tinker like that.
But that was, I'm sure, not the only challenge in translating that book because it's just so full of colloquialisms. So, was there anything else that you struggled with?
No, I didn't find it a difficult book at all. I don't want to boast, but I feel I pretty well sailed through it. And because it's done in nice chunks. Yes, small to medium length chunks, little stories.
Hmm. Well, I look forward to seeing it and reading it when it's done. As in the case of Czech literature, your translations from Slovak also span a huge range from contemporary all the way back to the first novel written in English, René Mládence Příhody a zkušenosti by Josef Ignác Bajza, which was published, was it second half of the 18th century? So, can you tell us what that will be called in English and what kind of challenges you encountered while translating that?
Well, have you ever seen the original, the 1955 edition, which reproduces the original text?
I don't think so.
I mean, it is totally incomprehensible. Once you have it side by side with a modern translation, and I use the one published by Tatran in 1970. I don't translate from that. I trans because it's very, very free and not always correct. But when I'm working from the original, I can usually see where it's going. But when in doubt, I look at Tatran and see, ah, yes, that's what he meant. Yeah, and as I do that, that's the time when I may also say, ah, but that can't be right, because there are mistakes, frankly, in the Tatran modernization, really. So, Bajza is by no means easy. The original, if you haven't seen it, I'll send you some sample pages, and you'll realize that it's even hard to say what language it's in. It's too early for it to be in standardized modern Slovak. It's obviously still under the influence of Czech when the man puts pen to paper and thinks he should be writing properly. Yeah, so there are large shades of Czech. Some sentences you might say that's even completely in Czech. There are dialect elements. It's an amazing book. It's very, very hard going, and it takes a lot of time, as I say, because I'm invariably consulting two sources, not just one. Not to mention the umpteen dictionaries I have round me. Fortunately, I possess Bernlaag's dictionary, so that helps with a lot of things where the words that were okay in Beiser's time but haven't survived it into the modern Slovak dictionary. So I say I'm lucky there to have Bernlaag to hand. And when there are allusions that I feel merit a footnote, I footnote this thing generously. I have recourse to Encyclopedia Slovenska and all sorts of other stuff. So, as for what it's going to be called, the title is by no means finalised.
But sorry, just for our listeners who only heard the Slovak title, can you at least paraphrase it?
Oh, it'll be something about possibly begin with the hero's name, which actually figures at the end of the original title, and it'll probably be something like René, the Adventures and Misadventures of a Young Man, something like that.
And are you aiming for contemporary English, in the sense of contemporary to the time when it was written in the original, or more modern version?
It'll read as a more modern version. Some of the sentences will certainly look too wordy for a modern translator, a modern text where the reader will be wanting to get through it nicely. What I do is check almost every word to make sure that that word was in use in English at the time. So sometimes there would be a word which would, there's an obvious choice for it, but you find it's only been in circulation in English since 1933. So I then scrabble around for the most palatable synonym, which has the respective and the respectable antiquity of being around in the late 18th century in English. So it isn't written, the translation isn't written in 18th century English as such, but it's careful to use vocabulary that goes back that far and doesn't reek of modernity.
Well, that makes complete sense. I
Oh,
think that's
good.
so, and finally, what are you planning to take on next?
I never plan anything because, as I said much earlier, with only a handful of exceptions, I've never translated anything but that someone has wanted it from me. So the real answer to the question is, the real question is, has anybody asked you for anything recently and do you intend to do it? Well, 2 days ago, I was asked if I would contemplate taking on a selection of correspondence and speeches by Tomáš Baťa. And I thought, well, that's something different, I'll do that. And that will be published in Zlín, unsurprisingly. We wait and see. I'm sure they'll want it done, and I'm sure I shall enjoy doing it because I like a change as much as anybody else does.
And well, that certainly will be quite a change. It'll be really different. Well, I hope you have a lot of. Yes?
Can I just go back a stage? I've just remembered something. You know, you were talking about my earliest translations from Slovak, which don't go back that far, obviously.
Yes.
Sometime, must be 30 years ago, I translated Edmund Pasca's Mša veľkonočná. Did you
Oh,
know that?
No, I didn't. I didn't.
Of course, it wasn't published, but it was performed by the Somerset Choral Society.
Very nice. And how appropriate, as we're recording this on Easter Friday.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
So I think on this note, thank you very much, David, for agreeing to submit yourself to this interrogation and to do it over the Easter weekend. And well, I hope it wasn't too bad, and I hope you can get your computer back to its normal settings when we finish with this.
I'm sure I shall.
So thank you, and good luck with finishing Baeza.
Oh, I need that. Yes, thank you.
Thank you, thank you.